Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you will find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So welcome, Lisa F., a compulsive overeater from Florida. Good evening, Lisa.
Good evening. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for having me. Like she said, my name is Lisa. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Central Florida. I'm really thankful to be here. This is my first time kind of sharing in this format, and so it makes me really nervous. But I learned coming here that we can do hard things, and it's important to push myself out of my comfort zone. So, and I also, I'm very grateful for the idea that there's recordings, because when I came in, someone somehow pointed me to some recordings, and that was such a gift because I was able to hear my story. I thought I was the only one that did crazy stuff with food. So I have been, and I'll share, because it was important to me when I'd hear people say their, I guess, the numbers, even though you kind of don't want to think about the numbers, but my top weight was probably 270 pounds. That I was pregnant. So I was like, that kind of doesn't count. But without being pregnant, I was 240. And then I pretty much lived around 220, between 180 and 220, a yo-yo between 180 and 220 all the time. And I am 5'3" and 3/4. And I know that because when I was probably about 18 or 19, I was going to join the military, join the Air Force. And because I needed to lose 20 pounds. And I thought, that's a great way. And when they measured me, they said I was 5'3 3/4. And I thought I was 5'4". And they said I needed to lose 20 pounds to be able to join. And I was like 150. Like, I would have given anything to be in the 150s now, right? I'm 47 now. But back then, as an 18 or 19 year old, I thought, well, if I could lose 20 pounds, then I don't need to, you know, join. The thing was that this food and weight thing, I didn't know anything about compulsive overeating, but as far back as I can remember hearing recordings, I heard people talk about taking the baby aspirin, sneaking. I was like sneaking and just eating all the baby aspirin, like if it was candy, and these little orange things. I don't know if anybody remembers those, but that was a thing for me. So it was good if I ever got sick, because the little certain kinds of cough drops were just like candy for me. And then as I got older, my weight started creeping up, and I do everything to try to just manage it. And, I really see the progression in the disease. I didn't know that and didn't have the language until I came in these rooms. But when I was about 15, I was able to diet. Just, you know, you heard about how many calories you have to have. And I just was able to kind of white knuckle it, eating all kinds of junk, but staying within those parameters. And that worked. That worked. And I got down to a healthy body weight, or so I thought. And then within 3 months, I was back up, right? And I would just gain 60, 70 pounds in, like, I thought, you know, record time. And it was the shame of then having to face people when everybody that would see you when you lost weight, oh, you look great. And now I have to go back out there in the world. And I just wanted to hide. So food was, you know, my friend, my comfort. I thought it was because all these reasons. My father was an alcoholic. You know, maybe that was why. My mother definitely had the issue with food. I really thought it was a willpower issue. I really thought it's just if I could, or there's just too many things going on in my life. I have this stressor, if I get to this point, or if I get a better job, or if I didn't have this strain. And you know, all of these excuses, and I really didn't know that there was a way. And you know, flash forward, I got to my early 40s, and I had two daughters that were in elementary school, and they started coming to me with being bullied in school. And it was such a breaking point to see how devastated they were with this struggle with the food. And I remember one of my daughters even sharing that, you know, she couldn't get the words out, but it was like she almost didn't want to live because of how, you know, how terrible she felt about herself. And I remember crying, just sitting on a closet floor with her and just crying, and the shame and hurt that I felt that I didn't have anything to give her, because here I was in my 40s. And what am I supposed to tell her? Just, you know, eat right and exercise. I couldn't do it. How could I demand it from a kid? And then you would think that would push me. I didn't know OA existed. I did. My mom did say something, probably when I was a teenager, mentioned something about Overeaters Anonymous, and I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what AA was, you know, and certainly the name is not quite, not appealing. And when you're a teenager and you think you can figure it all out. And so I just really never thought about that again. And then even after that lowest point for my daughter, I thought, okay, I'm gonna get it together. And then I did, I started, right? But then I couldn't, she couldn't, I was just so broken. And one day, you know, one day I remember a friend said, we'd go out to eat and people would be like, oh, you know, what are you going to eat? Like, what are you allowed to eat? Because you never knew what kind of diet I was on, which thing I, you know, was allowed, or if it was like, whatever, because I'm off the diet. And one of my friends said, oh yeah, Lisa stays on a diet. Like, and when she said it, it didn't sound mean to me. It was like, I know. My whole life. That is my whole life. I'm always trying to deal with this problem. And, you know, I heard the thing about the definition of insanity is, you know, doing over the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. But for me, it was doing the same thing over and over again, knowing what the result was, and then still doing it anyway. And so that was me. That was me. Oh, are you guys still there? Sorry, I lost the screen. And so I heard these, I Googled and I found OA, and, I heard these podcasts, and I went on my first meeting, and, there was a lady that had one opening for a sponsor, and I thought, or a sponsee, I guess she said she had one slot. And, I was terrified. I mean, I was literally like in the parking lot of my car. I mean, parking lot of like a DMV that I just randomly pulled over, because I'm like, oh, what is the help here? And I Googled it, and I got on a meeting, and it was Monday at 3 PM. And there may have been about seven people there. And the lady that was leading the meeting said she had an opening. And I was like, I thought maybe that's for me. Then I thought, no, let maybe someone else, you know, let someone else, let me just listen. But I did hear people talk about food the way I had talked about food, and I never had seen that. But then I thought I could do it myself. I thought I could do it myself, and I just kind of do the research, right? The book says self-knowledge availed us nothing. But I thought I could read. And so I looked everything up, and I started listening to all these podcasts and all these recordings. And in the recordings, I'd hear these amazing stories of transformation, all these amazing stories of transformation. And I also heard something that was new to me was this allergy, the allergy of the body, that certain foods that when they're ingested, and it so clicked with me because because of my father's alcoholism. And I realized that it's just different. It is different. It's kind of like my daughter who's allergic to peanuts. Something happens. It's not her fault. It's just, she breaks out in a certain way. What do I break out in? I break out in cravings. I break out in this uncontrollable phenomenon that is like a war I cannot win. When I am ingesting certain foods, it's like all bets are off. So I thought, oh, okay, I just have to not eat those foods. Forget about the fact that the recordings were talking about get a sponsor, go to meetings and all of that. I'll just avoid these foods. And so that's what I did. I avoided them. And then Christmas came and boom, I was back in the food. And so that just went on. And on June 17th of 2022, so a little over 2 years ago, was the last day that I ate compulsively overate. I just had a breaking point. I went to eat with my family. It was my niece's birthday, and my mom makes a comment when I was going to pick something off of my other niece's plate. And she's like, "You're going to eat that?" And I was like, "Oh." I was so offended, so embarrassed, and also thinking, why can't I eat it? I'm a grown up. I should be able to eat whatever I want. And all these feelings started creeping up. And then I was like, I'm leaving. I have to go. I have to go back to work. I got up and left. And my mom was like, I'm sorry. Did I offend you? And I didn't mean to offend you. And of course she didn't. Of course she didn't. Right. But I didn't have a 10th step or anything to work through all that. So I left. And then I went and grabbed some binge foods and ate all the way back to where I needed to go. And I was like, I need to get on a meeting. And so I got on my second meeting and I said, I need to ask for a sponsor because I can't do this by myself. And that's where I found my sponsor. And I've been abstinent ever since. My life has completely turned around. I can't even. It really has been a gift. And I didn't know because I only came here to lose weight. I really thought it was just all about the weight. I was told, and I was about being willing to go to any lengths. And you don't really know what that means, but I was grateful for that gift of desperation. I definitely had the gift of desperation. I was so sick of where I was at. And it's a dangerous place when you're kind of okay. I had kind of told myself, maybe this is just my lot in life. This is just, this is all it is for me. Or this is the only thing I do, right? I'm not out using other substances or out doing crazy. So this is it. Food is it. Like it's not that bad, right? It was just that, but I knew, I think deep down, I knew that there's something so off, but I didn't know the answer. And so it has been such a gift to come here and see that there is an answer. There is a solution, that there is a path. If I'm just willing to, hey, my way hasn't been working, just show me and have somebody who's walked that path. That has been such a game changer for me. So yeah, it's like seeing through a new lens. I still have a sponsor, who has a sponsor and I sponsor. I think that if my daughter, I, after a long time, I remember trying to, my now everybody kind of sees you and then they say, oh, look at all this weight you've lost. How'd you do it? But they don't really want to know. And I haven't quite yet figured out yet how to kind of encapsulate it in a way, because it's not appealing. They think, it's some sort of magic diet or, some sort of magic pill. And Lord knows I tried all of that before. But I knew, there was something off, there was something more to it. And yet there's been so many gifts. I didn't realize that this taught me how to, I was so isolated. I work where I'm not isolated, but then that's it, right? Then I go back home and I am just hiding. I don't want to deal with people. I don't want to, just put myself out there. I don't want to talk in public. And then I didn't really think that was selfish, right? But it's just, I realized that there is this kind of a lot of self in that. And now it's been a gift for the first time ever in my adult life that I have weighed the same amount for, a year and a half now, the gift to not worry about that, to not care about what people think. There's stuff that crops up, but we have a blueprint for what to do. And I have a fellowship around me that helps me get through the hard times. And there's been a lot of hard times. I remember just even like a week into my abstinence and just getting the sponsor to work the steps. I had this, there was a custody battle going on for my granddaughter. And we were told by a judge that I was not going to be able to see her. Only my son would be able to. And the way it would be like, I would not get to see her for, who knew how long at that point, but it ended up being almost a year before I could spend time with her. And it wasn't, the issue was, is that I felt so broken. I felt so broken and I could not see the end. The miracle is that as well as, losing a friend who passed away, recently filing for divorce, like going through all this stuff, I am not in the food. Like that is a miracle. And that is a miracle that like I wouldn't have even seen coming. I really thought I just needed to figure out the nutrition or whatever it was, what's the right diet. And it's been such a blessing. And what I've also seen is that this program tells you about it, being able to surrender. It's not me. There's a higher power. And I think that if I would have came in the 20, 30 years ago, or whenever I first heard about it, I may have been a little afraid. I would have run if I would have heard, I would have heard about this higher power or God. And I since had a spiritual awakening before coming into the rooms, but I love that it's not defined. I love that it is open. And so it's all inclusive. But there certainly is a power. There's a power and it's not me. There's something that is, just greater. And that's really been a gift and connecting
the 15 time. Minutes, 15
okay,
minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. There's something about that kind of walking and developing this conscious contact. It's really been, that's been a new transition for me, because the other thing is I had a problem with doing anything consistently, right? I couldn't do the diet consistently. I couldn't, have a morning routine consistently. I just nothing. There's chaos was kind of a norm. And I used to think I thrive in chaos. Like that's a good thing, something to be proud of. But no, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. And what I'm learning here, and I've heard other people share about how this program teaches you to kind of grow up. And I didn't realize that. I didn't have a lot of language for a lot of the ways that I felt. I certainly couldn't afford the therapy that I would have needed, and not that's a great thing if you can, but I couldn't. And here coming here, I got to learn about myself by hearing from others, by getting the benefit of their experience, strength, and hope. There was a time where I used to feel really kind of afraid of losing my recovery. And I remember hearing somebody say, don't be afraid, just be vigilant. Be vigilant, just like you're walking across the street. You're going to look both ways. There's certain things we do. So just being vigilant, what does that mean for me? It means not being complacent. It means not stopping going to meetings, showing up. If I'm asked to speak, as much as it terrifies me, I say yes. I sponsor, I work the steps and I work them in my head. It becomes kind of just this living, breathing thing that's all encompassing within your life. It just goes with you, So there's a point at the beginning where I'm writing the stuff down and it's more mechanical like that. But as time goes on, it just becomes how my thought process goes, because I have that structure. And then when I feel lost about how to handle something or handle a situation, I can, ask my sponsor. I can talk to my fellows in the program. I can listen to other people share at meetings, and I'm like, oh, and then it's amazing how kind of, God with skin on, they say, you hear that from other people. So, the literature is great. The other thing I wanted to point out, in the big book, it talks about the true alcoholic and then the hard drinker and the moderate drinker. And for a compulsive overeater, I really think I'm a true compulsive eater of, that kind, that it's not just, I can put it down. You would never tell somebody who, and people do this all the time, they totally can respect the fact that if you're an alcoholic and you have how many ever years of sobriety, no one would think to offer that person, say, well, just have a shot of this, that would just be like mean, right? That would be rude. But with food, it is so easy. And it's like, just have a piece, right? I'm not going to gain 50 pounds by just having one, just have a little, moderate. And that was the so much of the shame that I had, that I couldn't, because I could never come back. There were five times in my adult life that I managed to pick a diet. Ironically, each variation of whatever diet I did eliminated what I later figured out were my binge or alcoholic foods. And so I lost weight. And then as soon as I reached what I thought was a healthy body weight, I would think I can indulge because I'm not going to gain a bunch of weight by just having this. And so I did. And so I joked that I had my relapses before I came into program because I could see those times. Like I could literally see how I dieted, I got down to whatever. And once I did, and I re-ingested this, it was within 2 or 3 months, I'd gained all the weight back. And it was like, and I didn't understand why. I didn't understand why till I came here. But my daughter has since, she reached a point where she was willing to go. I remember one time I mentioned to her, she turned 13 and she was like, I'm not going to a meeting with a bunch of old people and this and that and reading books. And I get it, right? And then one day she was like, Mom, and she just was like, at this point, like, I'll go. And she is now, she picked up a 90-day chip about a month ago. She's been going to meetings every Saturday with me. It's like her own little spiritual awakening, and it wasn't my doing, you know. It's really beautiful to see. And it was a year and a half. I mean, it's really just within the last 90 days. So it wasn't at the beginning. And I remember when I first got in, I had called my sponsor, like, I wanted this for everybody. I wanted it for everybody in my family that was struggling. And she was just like, put the oxygen mask on you first. And something about gradual, which I didn't want to hear gradual. I wanted everything like right now and fix this problem right now. But I've learned that it is gradual. It is gradual. And then the miracles start unfolding. But I bring up my daughter because I recently then took her because she had some discoloration on the back of her neck. And so we went to see a skin doctor, and the skin doctor was like, oh, it's a, that has, you know, it's diabetes or something, you know, said it has to do with that. And we thought, what? Like, I'm thinking it's just kind of a rash or something. And then I thought, no, she's not diabetic, you know. So then we went and did the blood work and everything. And so we had this scare because of where she was. And she was weighing over, well, close to 220 pounds at 13. And my heart would break. But I knew that at whatever point, whenever she was ready, that I know a place to go for the answer. But then she had her shift and then things. And so when we recently went back, she went back and she had lost 20 pounds slowly, just doing everything with her. But the doctor tells her, oh, well, just keep up with your nutrition. And it's okay if you have a cheat day here and there. And I just about died. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I didn't tell her anything in the moment, but I thought, and this is a medical professional, right? And this is why, as a little girl, like I, you know, couldn't figure this whole thing out. And literally last night, for the first time in a long time, I went out with a friend I hadn't seen in a long time, and I had given her books and stuff, but she's not interested in coming here, and that's fine. But a friend that's actually her trainer, she said, we were talking about something about the food, and I explained why I have an issue with it. Like I have to stay away from certain things because it's like alcohol for me. So I just can't, I'm allergic to it. And she was like, well, it's just about the subconscious. It's just your brain. You know, it's it. You just, your mind power. I can have a little bit and then that's it. And I was like, I'm not going to engage in this, right? I'm not. And my mom was with me, and I pretty much have shared with her, and thankfully she didn't say anything. So I'm not going to argue about it. But I really, and here's the problem and here's the danger. There's a part of me that thinks, well, maybe am I wrong? Am I wrong that it's not? So maybe I could try. And every time that thought comes to me, I ask myself, why do I want to? Why do I want to? There's not a doctor on earth that is going to tell me that food is nutritious for me. Because usually what I'm thinking about ingesting is not something that really is, you know, there's any health benefit to. And I just remember the crazy. I remember the insanity, and I have to remember, which is why I keep coming back. And the other thing is I'm so grateful for the people that come and share and have the courage to share after a relapse. And every time I hear those stories, which is what I hold dear to me now, when I hear them say that they were abstinent for 5 years, abstinent for 10 years, and then they picked up, and then they didn't come back for 8 months, 9 months, 8 years, 9 years, whatever, right? I am reminded that this is true for me. And sometimes we have to figure it out, right? No one can diagnose us. It's something that, but if I'm honest, I've never been able to eat those foods in a moderation. I've never been able to control my eating when I ingest these certain foods. And then that I had to realize that. And then the other problem is when I don't eat those, I've never been able to stop from starting to again eat those foods. And that is what this program has taught me. This is what the steps give you. That is the freedom that is found in this. And then it, a lot of people, I have a lot of family, they're big believers, and I've been on all sides of the spectrum about the belief, but it wasn't enough for me to have a belief in a higher power. Because that didn't fix me. I had a belief in a higher power when I came into these rooms, but that didn't fix my food problem. And I thought, what does God care about my food? That's my responsibility. I need to figure that out. I need to be doing right. I didn't have a blueprint. And I also didn't realize there were things that were blocking me from that connection. And those things were resentments. Those things were the self-pity. Those things were just, so much stuff, right? Just all that angst, all that stuff. And I didn't know what to do with it. Or a constant need to try to succeed and do more. And it was exhausting. And I learned here that no greater, no less than, that we're all, we're just all here on the same boat. Thank you. So the other thing was, I think at the beginning, I had a hard time with just calling myself a compulsive overeater. And it's like, it's negative. I don't want to just label myself. Even when I would hear about the little bit I did know about AA, I don't want to claim that, And what I learned here is that I would let myself get hung up on those words. But like in the set aside prayer, which I'm sure, many of you have heard, I have to let go everything I think that I know. And I can't let myself go down that rabbit hole because it's a distraction. It's a red herring, and it takes my focus off of things when I get caught up on what we're calling this. But anyway, I guess the ultimate goal is that I didn't realize I didn't have peace. I have this peace now, right? And we get disturbed. I get disturbed, and life is crazy for me. But I am so grateful. I am just so grateful for this program. And I've seen people, I have sponsees who've been in the rooms for 30 years and for the first time picked up a 30-day chip and is now, 8-9 months, and it's not because of me, but it's just the gift of I say it because of the fact that I am amazed how it takes what it takes, that we're all on different journeys. And so it's never too late, but it's also never too early. But there is a path. And so like they say, keep coming back. It's so true. I encourage everybody who's new or even long timers to get or stay plugged in. It's not exactly osmosis. You have to do the work, but at the same time, there's a little bit of like osmosis, like you come in and it just washes over you little by little by just hearing the message. The gifts of the program for me have been so far reaching, and it's not just the food neutrality that I like go into stores and the food doesn't talk to me. It used to talk to me, like literally, it was crazy. And now it's like nothing. It's not my food, which is just blows my mind sometimes. And I thought that was the only reason I came here. But yet now I have friendships with people worldwide, which is amazing. I get the opportunity to, share what I've learned with other people and push myself to do things that that scare me and do it anyway. And so I just really appreciate you guys letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing your story with us. Now is the time.